Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends. Washington. We're all girls, all ages,
all seasons of our life and all joy. We want to remind you what your value in Christ is today. My sister is going to be bringing the lesson from the Lisa Bevere Bible, Lioness Arising, Chapter 8, if you're reading along with us. Thank you for those that actually contacted us this past week about our wonderful guest, which was our dad last week.
Yeah.
I think we had more comments from that guest speaker than we have ever had in 2 years of being on the air. And we have reached the 40,000 listeners point right now. So we're blessed. We're happy that you're with us today, no matter what time of day or night. We want to say thank you to Tammy Moe, who is not with us today, but she set us up on the program, and to Sandra Wilkinson, who is our floor director tonight, and those of you that have helped us promote the Cruzy Sisters. So let's open in prayer, and then without further ado, we'll get to our lesson tonight. My sister Debbie will be bringing. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for all the women that are representing all the different households and seasons and times in their life in this room, God. I just pray that you'd be with all of our listeners today, whether male or female. We pray that you would bless them and help them remember the strength that they have if they have you in their life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we are on Lesson 8, which says lionesses are strategic. They work together as a team. They know each other's strengths and weaknesses. They have prowess. And Lisa Bevere, she said she loves this word. And the women that travel with her, the young women that travel with her, they try to continue to use the word prowess in a sentence. So they say they have travel prowess, or they have packing prowess, or they have prayer prowess. Whatever fits. Now, personally, I think I have shopping prowess and espresso drinking prowess. But she said she also likes to pair it with words like strategic and fierce. And the last time I heard the word fierce, I was at a woman's ministry who specializes in women who are in shelters. And they bring them in and they give them makeovers. And they help them with employment, and they give them life skills classes and teach them scripture. And a woman had just gotten done getting her makeover, and she walked across the room, and I thought, wow, that must be somebody that they're going to have as a speaker tonight or something. But no, she was actually one of the homeless women that had just been fixed up in this outfit. And I was standing with a woman who was with the ministry, and she says, wow, she says, that woman, I don't think that she's walking with the Lord yet, but I know she's going to. And when she does, she's going to be fierce, and she's going to be powerful for the Lord. And she says that's the reason why she has had so much trouble in her life, because the devil knew that she was going to be fierce and powerful, and that's why he's put so many stumbling blocks in her way. But she says, I know that's what she's going to be. And I thought, wow, that's what I want to be. I want to be fierce and powerful for the Lord. I want the devil to wish he'd never messed with me. And so, reading the definition of prowess. Prowess encompasses ability, skill, expertise, competence, dexterity, aptitude, and proficiency. In addition, there's a double-edged definition. Number one is exceptional ability, skill, or strength, and two is exceptional valor or bravery. Like the lioness, you too have prowess. There is exceptional ability, strength, or valor waiting to be realized in your life. And it may be hiding, waiting to be encouraged to develop. But never doubt that it's there. God hides talents and abilities deep within each of us. The areas of prowess are often awakened through the medium of play, such as games, sports, or make-believe. Is there something within you that wants to come out and play? Your area of prowess may be what's excited when you see lionesses unafraid and in action, whether they are hunting, protecting, or training. They do what they do well. No woman's position or condition is more significant than another's, and we need you to be you. Duplicating the talents of another service serves no one well, least of all you. Individuality is not born through comparison, copying, or competition, and each lioness hones her own skill set. We would do well to follow her example. In Romans 12:5-6, it says, So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be, without envy or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we're not. God is inviting one and all to make their position, like the lioness, everyone in their place, everyone with their own strength. And then she says, lionesses are known to be great hunters. And it says, a wild chase. I want to expand our concept of the hunt. A hunt is not limited to kill, then eat. Hunt is also described as a chase, a search, or even a rescue. The verb form to chase, pursue, or stalk, hound, follow, or lie in wait. I find it interesting that these verbs are used to describe our pursuit of God. In Psalm 7:1, it says, God, God, I am running to you for dear life. The chase is wild. And, you know, as I was thinking, it's like everywhere I turn, anytime I turned on the radio and there was a program, someone preaching, they'd be saying, you've got to want more. You've got to want more of God. Want more. And so I just kind of fell asleep thinking that, and I woke up thinking, God, I want more. I do. I want more of you. And then this kind of the song came to me, more about Jesus, this I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. And I thought, well, that's what it's about. When you get more of Christ, you get more of his love, you get more of his grace and his mercy for other people. And, you know, I think it's a mistake that we take these hymns out of the church. So many churches do not have these hymns anymore. And these people, they knew God, and they had a relationship with him, most of them, from a lot of hurt in their life. And also, this song, More About Jesus, she had a lot of medical problems where she couldn't work. She had a problem with her spine, and she decided that she was going to put her talent to work writing hymns, and she did. And so this
Fanny
was
Fanny Crosby too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Blind. Look at the song. It is well with my soul.
Him. He lost what? All three
he lost
kids
his and children. His
oh,
wife.
Yeah.
And he and they. I think they telegraphed him, and his response was, "It is well with my soul." And he wrote the song, "It is well with my soul." This was written in 1887. This song, More About Jesus.
Wow. I
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought, well, maybe that's a newer song, but I looked it up.
It's like 1930s or something.
Yeah. So, you know, more about Jesus having it flow through us, his love, his mercy, his grace for others. And, you know, do we want to be like the Dead Sea where we just take it in and there's no life? No, we want to be like the river. We want to be a river where it comes through us and flows out through us again. And that's where the life is. You know, the life is to give to others.
I thought that was interesting, too, about the Dead Sea, Deb. I think we talked about that before, but the Dead Sea is the body of water that just takes and doesn't give out.
Right.
And I think, too, when we're broke, even in a financial state, where we are so financially strapped, and I've been there before, too, mm-hmm. that you can't give out to anybody else.
Right.
And it hurts you inside that you mm-hmm. can't help. You know, even if you wanted to help someone on the side of the road, you wouldn't even be able to have an extra couple of dollars to do it, or a family member's having medical bills, you wouldn't be able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking in, and never being able to give out is very hard as a female, I think. And, you know, if you've ever had a sick child, you know not being able to give to them is just, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than having an issue with a child and not being able to help mm-hmm. that or protect that child.
When it comes to giving, I like it better when somebody gives me a little time or just will sit and read a verse with me. It means so much more than giving me, you know, like $10 for gas or something.
Yeah.
You know, giving me a hug. Thank you for, you know, I'm just using examples, but, you know, if you don't have the money to give, like a lot of people don't, there's always ways you can do something for someone that someday it will touch their heart.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen people that have come off the streets and being able to watch those people be able to help somebody else. That's a joy that you can't give anybody.
Right.
That they can give to somebody else and help somebody else out. I re- remember when I was in labor with my first son, and the pain was so horrible, and I had a little nurse that barely spoke English. There's no way she could take the pain from me. But every time, you know, I felt that pain restarting, and we were waiting for the guy to come in and work with my spine on this, and he wasn't coming. And I remember I said, oh, here comes another one, here comes another one. And she said, listen to me. About 4'10". She said, there's thousands of women every day that have babies, and they all live.
Go on a wild God chase. Before our lioness sisters hunt, they gather. They rest together, hunger together, stretch and raise up together. Together they take their hunting positions, and when it's over, they feast together. Then the cycle repeats itself. Position may change, but ultimately lionesses are together. Margaret Mead said, sisters are probably the most competitive relationship within the family, but once the sisters are grown, it becomes the strongest relationship. So this is what's happening. We need to grow up. Let's work together and use the gifts God has given each of us without jealousy and immaturity. You know,
uh-huh.
All that jealousy, it just makes me think of you know, obviously you're a kid. Hopefully you grow out of that. The kind of jealousy that I remember as a kid is not so much like, oh, she's prettier, or she sings better, or she looks better, or something. It was more of each other's friendships. That's what I remembered. It's like, oh, well, you didn't invite me over, but you invited her over, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, mine was definitely somebody who's prettier.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't care about
friends.
Somewhere.
Yeah, the friends.
I was
watching
game friends, and then they got chased away from me. Isn't that funny?
No, but I mean, it's funny how different women see different things. I remember dating somebody in high school and thinking, well, I can't go there because there's this girl that's prettier than me.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was because I didn't. They always say that if you don't trust somebody, it's because you don't trust yourself. But I felt like I trusted myself. It's just I didn't like other people in the room that were prettier than me.
Mm.
That was a really big deal. So I knew that God had healed me of that when I went into pageants. That was for sure.
Yeah.
So then you just have to celebrate each other, you know.
Yeah, that's
awesome. So God is inviting you and me to be part of a hunt. As we seek and pursue him, we will find the wisdom and answers we need. In a world torn apart by divorce and emotional detachment, we need heaven-breathed friendships and strategic relationships. That's why we're doing a mentoring program, right?
Yay.
Yeah.
So in Philippians 1:27 and 28, stand united, singular in vision, contending for people's trust in the message, the good news, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. Your courage and unity will show them what they're up against. Defeat for them, victory for you, and both because of God.
Mm. That's good.
I just have to say I've really enjoyed this study on just learning how to be a powerful Christian.
Yeah.
Woman.
Yeah.
Not using that as an abusive form, but as an empowering
within
one.
You. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I hate that
coming to a close.
It is.
It really has.
Yeah.
It really has brought the lioness out in me because, I mean, now I hardly ever go anywhere where I just don't see a stranger and bring up church. Oh, our church is so easy to find.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
like walking down the street.
And you know, I talk to everybody in the store anyway, so I might as well invite them to church.
That's right.
Everybody in my complex around me and other places, because of this lioness arises.
Yeah.
It's because of that.
Well,
women can have power, but we need to decide where to put that power.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can be in a car and you can use the gas or the brake, and it's the same foot. It should be anyway. You shouldn't pedal. You pedal like
I
mom
do.
Does.
I do that.
But it's supposed to be the right foot. I know. That's why their brakes always go out. Yeah. So you know, it should be the right foot each time, you know, going back and forth or whatever. But we can take that same power and we can go forward or we can stop.
Yeah.
You know, we can take that and make a decision. You know, recently I had a situation that I could have gone against a family member. And I could have been so upset at her and said, hey, this isn't it, this blah, blah, blah. And I called a mutual friend of ours and I said, there's no way both of us share the gospel and I will not allow the devil to get in here. I will not allow it. And I remember her praying with me and saying, oh, my word, this is not God. God would not put an issue between the two of you. Does this issue matter once you get to heaven?
Yeah.
And I had to think, no.
Wow, yeah.
You know, will this be something that's going to make a difference for eternity? And then decide. And I have to deal with my own kids, too. I want to highly recommend this book before we go off the air, and it's called Satan, You Can't Have My Family.
Amen.
And it's by Iris Delgado, and her husband is more of the author than she is in other books. But Satan, You Can't Have My Marriage is excellent, too, and children. So right now, these are at any Christian bookstore or family Christian bookstore, and it's the $5 up at the front counter. So I would highly recommend to pick up one of those. If you are not on the not here in the Northwest, just look them up if you're on our radio audience. But I just want to share with you a couple of things in here. And that is reminding us as we pray for our family that Satan is defeated. Don't forget, we're more than conquerors according to Romans 8:37, and resist the devil and he will flee from you, James 4:7. The enemy is under your feet, and no weapons formed against you shall prosper, Isaiah 54:17. They overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so I brought this to the youth group on Sunday for our lunch with the bunch and reminded them that to continually talking about what our testimony is and what God brought us through or what we could have been involved in. I think that we have to remember that our testimony is not all these horrible things that we did, but all these horrible things that God also kept us from. So, you know, being able to look at that and say, thank God for what you've brought me through and what I didn't have to go through. I think so many times that Christian church kids don't think that they have a testimony, but boy, do they ever, because at any time they could slip into a testimony that they didn't ask for. So, the most powerful revelation of me was understanding my identity in Christ. I took it as a prescription from my doctor, Jesus. 3 times a day I would confess who I am in Christ. Then I studied all about my spiritual weapons. One, the Word of God in my heart and spoken. I think I was talking to Sandra just about this today, that once we put the Word in us, the Word will come through us. So if we're concerned about what our words are coming out, we need to decide what the words are going in. It's just like a computer or anything else. If I press print, I had to get it in there to print out to start with. So unfortunately, the world is giving us a vocabulary a lot more than God is. So we have to take our chosen vocabulary, and we have to learn these things. Exactly. Spell check. The second thing is the power of the blood of Jesus. We know that this power is so strong. You know, you've even seen those haunted houses where they've prayed the power of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb and the Bible and all this stuff and all these, you know, demonic forces leave, and then those people leave, and they're not even Christians.
Mm-hmm. They just know it works for some reason.
They just, and that's what they said. They say,
I don't know, the Bible, I just bring the Bible, I say Jesus, and, you know, it works.
And it was just so weird to see that interview. And I asked my dad, I said, I don't understand. They're not even believers. And Dad says, oh, but remember the verse that said, for you cast out demons in my name, and I didn't even know who you were. I didn't have a relationship with you. So the power of the blood of Jesus. And the other thing is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I love this part where it says, let God be God. And in so many times we say, but all I can do is pray for him. Remember we had that conversation a few months ago, Deb. All I can do is pray for him. All I can do is pray for her. All I can. Wait a minute. That's a lot of power in there. All I can do, that means that this is above me. But even if it's above me, it's below him. And he is able to take care of it for me. So I have to remember to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in other people. My friend Tracy reminded me that the world doesn't just revolve around you, Tammy. Other people have their stories, too.
Yeah.
So pray for their stories, too. The other thing is the power of praise and worship. We praise him today in this season of life. We talked about that when I ran worship a couple weeks ago, that in this time I will praise him. And everybody's time is a little bit different, whether it's good or bad. But if you praise the Lord and you start lifting up his name, and for me it's in song. Not everybody, it's in song. Sometimes it's just in closing your eyes. But whatever that worship is, you will be able to feel the load of your burden start to fall off. He takes that from us. And the power of prayer of agreement. You say, well, I don't have anybody to pray with. I say, well, then who are you hanging around with? You know, I honestly say I have 30, 40, 50 people, and I know that if you attend this church, you do too, that you can call up at any time.
Yep.
And say, I need prayer, and I need it now. I remember I called my friend Judy that runs a ministry here in Everett, and I was so sick, and I had to go give my I got to go give my testimony somewhere. And I was so sick, and I called her, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, Judy, and she prayed this big, long prayer. Thank you, God, for healing her, and as soon as she starts talking, this headache's going to go away. And, I mean, she prayed a prayer that I forgot that I had the power to pray. And as I look in this, I love this part, too, where it says, you see the example of faith in God's power in Corinthians 1, 4 through 8, where it says, a positive attitude of faith is created in you when you start thanking for God for the things which do not yet exist as though they did. So how many times are we thanking God? I thank you, God, ahead of time for what you're going to do. I thank you, God, ahead of time. And on Sunday, I spoke to the youth group, and I said, I want you to say next time you're going through a problem, I want you to say, wow. One, I want you to speak God's words only. Number two, I want you to overcome with his blood. He's already forgiven you. And your testimony. What has God done for you? What has God kept you away from? And by the power of the Holy Spirit, what is God going to do in your life? And W, say, whoa, God, I don't know how you're going to get me out of this, but I know you are. So saying ahead of time what exists as though it already does. The power of agreement and the power in the name of Jesus, for their strength in the name of Jesus Christ. So not forgetting as you pray for your family, that in everything I've learned, and I put this on Facebook last week, in anything I've learned in all the many sermons that I've heard everybody speak, and that I've even spoke myself in the past 10 years, I know two things about God. One, he exists, and two, I'm not him. I'm not the one to judge. I'm not the one to not give mercy or decide to give mercy. I'm not the one to say who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. I'm not the one. I am to be me, and that's all God has called me to be. And to want more of him, as Debbie just said, that's been a real theme in my life the past few weeks too, is what, if you don't want more of him now, there could be a time in our life where you're put to your knees to where you're going to want more of him. And I've been to both of those places where I've said, God, I want more of you, and God, I don't know what else to do. I have to have you. And there'll come a time in our life because that, you know, the rain falls on the just or the unjust, and life happens to all of us no matter what, but that we can come together and we can get stronger. You know, the trees that the Simonsons owned in California,
the redwoods,
they're not real large trees, but they never fall over. In all the major, major catastrophes of California, they never fall over. Because even though they're not as big as the oak, and they're not as tall as the other trees, they're about this close together, but underneath, their roots come together like this. Mm-hmm. So even though they look fragile, they're not going to fall because of they hold on to each other, and that's the church.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office at 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.